This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
We know who runs the route, but now it's time to dive into the guys throwing the ball. Welcome to QB Class, presented by Reception Perception. Here's your host, Zach Miller and Derek Klassen.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of QB Class. Thanks for tuning in here. I'm Zach Miller, co-hosted with Derek Klassen, our QB wizard, to be specific. Back for another draft profile. Today we're going to be talking about Washington's quarterback Michael Penix Jr., who is a little bit interesting of a case, kind of in our last area of where these quarterbacks might be projected to sneak into the first, but mainly kind of day two guys. He kind of feels like the last of that tier to me. Where are you at with that?
Yeah, I mean, at least for my own personal tiers, I mean, we have one more quarterback I think that is kind of interesting next week in Spencer Rattler. But in terms of the guys, yeah, a little sneak preview there. But in terms of guys that like realistically might sneak into the first round, yeah, it's Bo Nix that we did last week and then Michael Penix this week.
Yeah, it feels like kind of the drop off. I don't know if, spoiler alert, I don't know if either of us are on board with either of those two guys actually going in the first, but we don't control the NFL draft, so we're here just to tell you kind of what we think about them, what to expect from their profile. And Michael Penix is kind of an important one. He led what is considered the second best team in college football to a national championship. Unfortunately, did not win. Michigan took that title, but had a pretty dominant offense, a dominant team, was very, very good. Probably it was kind of a big surprise going into college football, Washington being so good and kind of him being so good after transferring out of like Indiana to Washington. 2022 was a good season. And then obviously 2023 was the national championship. So there's a lot to uncover with Michael Penix and his draft stock. Just had his pro day not too long ago as well. Checked in with some nice measurables, but that's not what we're about here, Derek. We're about the charting. We're about the quarterback play. So I'm going to let you take that there, take it away from me there. And just kind of thoughts, feelings, emotions around Michael Penix Jr.?
They are not good from my end. I will say that. I think even before I dive into the charting profile, I want to say my starting point with Michael Penix is we have a six-year player who's 24 years old. Has a massive injury history, like shredded his shoulders, his knee twice, and didn't really get good until he had three NFL receivers that he's throwing to and two NFL offensive tackles. That to me is like just a scary starting point to begin with. It feels like Kenny Pickett-esque in a way where it's like this guy just comes on really late. But then you add on top all the injury stuff that he has. So that's really concerning to me. But even beyond all of that, when we look into the charting, it's bad, man. Like I you can feel when you're charting, like where a guy is going to end up, like, is this going to look really good? Is this going to feel bad? Like when I was charting Jaden Daniels, like whatever I feel about him as a prospect, otherwise I could tell like, oh, his profile is going to look unbelievable. It's going to be green across the board. When I was charting Penix, I was like, man, I don't know. This feels like it's a little bit rocky. And then you actually dive into the data and it's bad. Like his overall adjusted accuracy in this class is 66.3%. Not only is that the worst among the quarterbacks that we've profiled so far, it is also worse than anybody I charted last year, which includes like you know, day three guys like Hendon Hooker, Tanner McKee, like just guys who are not very serious quarterback prospects, at least like as far as the first round goes and stuff like that. So that alone is pretty concerning. And then honestly, just the further you dive into his numbers, like it doesn't really get any better in any way. Like his success rate down the field, and we'll dive into this a little bit, all of this stuff a little bit deeper in a little bit, but he's not even good down the field. Like 44.4% success rate on throws beyond 20 yards. Granted, he did it a ton, so like there's probably just a, you know, you're trading volume for efficiency, and I understand that, but he also just threw a lot of bad balls that were caught. So like his deep ball feels, I think, a lot better than it actually is. He's also just terrible in the 1 to 10 yard area. Like he was one of the worst throwers in both the 1 to 5 yard area and the 6 to 10 yard area in this class. Versus zone, he only has a 63.4% success rate, which is not good at all. On open window throws, only 77.9% success rate, which is also really bad and the worst in the class. Like he just, it's pretty bad almost no matter where you look, which is really concerning, like I said, for a guy who has played so much football and is throwing to three NFL receivers, I guess like 2.5 if you count Jalen McMillan only playing half the season.
And we talk a lot on this show when we're going through these quarterback profiles on like outliers and sample size. And a lot of times when you see these crazy numbers, like when you're looking at like a Jaden Daniels, sometimes they'll have numbers where you're like, yes, he has a really high success rate, but he didn't do it that much. That's not really the case with Michael Penix. It's not like all of these crazy, like his super low stats between the 1 to 6 or the 6 to 10. He's not throwing them at a ridiculously higher amount than these other prospects. It's not a sample size issue. That is one of the true parts of his profile, is that he does really struggle in these yard ranges. It's not a sample size issue. It's not really an offense issue. You can't point to like a UNC issue with Drake May where you're like, okay, you have the question of talent. Like you said, Washington has the talent. They were a very, very good offense, and he clearly ran a successful offense, but that doesn't always translate to the NFL level. And that's really what we want to look at here. One of the ones that really stood out to me, and I think kind of is a T for his profile, as well as something that we always look at with quarterbacks, which is their success rate under pressure. That one just was glaring, stood out to me. By far the lowest we've charted in the class at 35.2% success rate under pressure. And if you're listening for the first time, you're not sure exactly how we chart any of this stuff. Derek looks at whether or not the throw was on target, regardless of situation. So if it made it to a catchable ball to a receiver or where it was, out of 142 attempts, was accurate on 50 of them, which 142, a lot of attempts under pressure, but not, again, not an outlier in this class, not far away from all the others, but a really, really low percentage of success rate. Talk me through kind of what you saw when he was under pressure.
Yeah, I think when you talk about pressure, at least if you're like trying to understand the numbers, you kind of have to talk about pressure within the pocket and pressure outside of the pocket, like one's ability to make plays outside. Like there are certain quarterbacks who are maybe really good at one and maybe not so great at the other. Michael Penix is not good at either one, which is, I think, the big problem to me. I think within the pocket, he's actually really tough. Like it's not a matter of him being scared or falling away from hits. Like, you know, we talked about Bo Nix last week where he's falling away from hits and that's really his issue. I don't think it's that with Penix at all. I think the issue with Penix within the pocket is that his arm angles are bad and very stiff. Like he's a player, so he's like 6'3 or something like that. He's not a short player, but when he throws, he drops all of his weight, so he loses like an inch there. And then he has like a very low, like sidearm-ish release. So he loses a couple extra inches there. So he just like struggles getting the ball over defenders who are around him and crowding his area. And he doesn't really ever change that arm slot. Like you watch Caleb, you watch Drake May, you even watch like to a degree JJ McCarthy. And even Bo Nix to a degree has this at times where they can actually change their arm slot a little bit and adjust. I just don't really ever see that with Michael Penix. And then outside of the pocket, it's kind of the same thing. Like he's actually not a terrible athlete. He's just like really unwilling to move. And that's really the biggest issue. And I think because of that, he just doesn't have that many reps, that much comfort playing outside of the pocket. He's just not a very like, he doesn't have very good creative vision outside of the pocket. And I think he struggles when he's throwing on the move. Again, when his like, when you're throwing on the move, you kind of need to have a little bit of like looseness to the way that you play. Penix has none of that. Like he's a very, very stiff quarterback who needs to stand firm and have a platform. He's like a flat cannon. That doesn't really, that's not good when you're trying to throw on the move. So he just has a skill set that to me is just not very conducive to playing under pressure. Even though I think he's very tough and willing to take hits, like you'll see a couple of plays on his film where like just shot to the ribs and he makes a throw downfield and it's like, oh, that's delightful. It's just that it's not consistent because he just doesn't have that many answers, that many options.
It's always interesting when you have a quarterback that you like unequivocally is athletic. Like he had a very good pro day. A lot of his intangibles, height, weight, speed, all of that stuff. But then he doesn't do a lot of the athletic things in the pocket. Like he's very much a pocket quarterback when you watch him play. He is a drop back passer. To his credit, really good at getting the ball out quickly. If he does identify the pressure, if he does see someone coming in on him, he's good at noticing that and getting that ball out quickly. And that's something I noticed watching his tape was he will get the ball out right away and kind of has like the, doesn't really like to hold the ball when he doesn't have to, but resetting the pocket, getting out of pocket, doesn't really have the accuracy that you're looking for out of someone with like that side sort of athleticism or like a lesser type of arm talent. Usually you're looking for one or the other there. And speaking to that, his out of pocket success rate also the lowest in the class so far at 46%. And again, no outliers there. He's throwing right about the same amount of out of pocket attempts as everybody else with 78 attempts and not accurate on less than 50% of them. It's alarming, just kind of across the board. There are upsides to a player like Michael Penix. We saw that with the Texas game for sure, which is what you're going to see people tweeting all the time. If any time you see a highlight clip from Michael Penix Jr. on Twitter or his draft profile, I guarantee you it is from the Texas game. No doubt in my mind, because that's a different quarterback than you see the rest of the film. When you're watching him in Texas, that's the game he was able to put it all together. That's the game you're able to see him really like not just operating through the offense, but letting the offense operate through him, had touch on his passes, was able to just execute on every layer of the field. So the ceiling is there. Do you think that's something he'll be able to tap into in the NFL level? What kind of development do you want to see from that? Or is that more of a flash in the pan?
I think it was a flash in the pan. And I think you get this sometimes when you have like uber aggressive quarterbacks, like when you have these, I commend Michael Penix for his aggressiveness. It's probably my favorite trait of his. That dude is very willing to throw the ball down the field. He's very willing to test tight windows. He's very willing to go give his guys a shot. And I think if you can craft the right, you know, receivers around him that can actually be like functional, that can be like his path to success. Like if you had what the Bucks have with like Michael, with Mike Evans and like Chris Godwin, it's like, okay, like I can envision a world where this works. It's just that I think he's very limited in that aspect. But I think what happens when you have these uber aggressive quarterbacks is every now and then everything goes right. And this is what you saw a lot with like a Ryan Fitzpatrick or like a Jameis Winston, where they just have these games where every single insane decision they make is just on the money. And when you have enough accuracy down the field, it can kind of work out. And you just have these moments where like the defense just is floundering and never has an answer. And that's kind of what it felt like the Texas game was. And Michael Penix even kind of spoke to this where he was like, yeah, they were just giving us like vanilla zone coverages the entire game. And he was like, I knew what they were going to do. We had weeks to prepare for this. There was like nothing to it. And I was like, yeah, when you get weeks to prepare and you have an NFL offensive coordinator, three NFL receivers, two offensive tackles who are going to be in the pros, it's like, yeah, you should be able to do it. And then he went out and did it. So I still think it was probably a flash in the pan. But to the people who do really, really like Michael Penix, that is the game that you're hoping that he can turn out, I think, more consistently.
You're kind of pinning your whole argument on, what if he just does this game again?
Yeah. What if he just has the best game of his life all the time? Wouldn't that be cool?
I want to circle around a little bit to the under pressure stuff we were talking about, because I do know it's going to come up when people are looking at the profile or looking at this stuff. Michael Penix only took 31 sacks throughout his dropback in college football. I know immediately when we post like, oh, he's bad under pressure. He's bad under pressure. People are like, he avoids sacks. He doesn't get sacked. That is true. Both can be true at the same time. Do you want to explain a little of the differences of like why you can still be bad under pressure in success rate, but also only take 31 sacks in your career?
I mean, it's what you talked about earlier. Like, when he does get pressured, the ball will get out. Like, he's not really a guy who's going to hold on to the ball and get himself into trouble. And, like, generally, when he's getting heated up, like, you know, when he sees 5-6 men coming, he's not, like, blind to it. Like, he knows what's up. He's played a lot of football. He's played for 6 years. Like, he's seen stuff. He knows what's going on. And so I think in that sense, he does do a good job to get the ball out. He'll check it down. He'll throw it away. Like, he does a decent job of understanding how to not make the worst play possible. It's just that, like I said, when he actually does get the ball out, I think he just doesn't have that many answers in terms of, like, arm slots, you know, creativity, his willingness to move outside of the pocket. Like, more often than not, his response to pressure is not, I'm going to go try to make a really cool play. It's like, I'm going to check down. And like, that's it. Like, he just doesn't have that, like, oh, you know, free rusher here, I'm going to go make a play, like Caleb or Drake or JJ even, to a degree, or even Jaden Daniels. Like, all of those other quarterbacks have at least, like, some answer when they get pressured and want to go make a play outside of the pocket, do something creative. Penix just doesn't really have that. He's a guy who, like, kind of cement feats himself into the pocket, and it's basically like check down or bust, or I'm going to just chuck it 50 yards down the field and pray to God Jalen Polk or Roman Dunes goes and catches it, which in college is not, like, the worst way to go about it. But I think in the NFL, it's probably not going to be very conducive to success.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Highlighting his, like, extreme aggressiveness, one of the marks that he did that was the highest in the class was his attempts into covered passes. So tracking, like, how often a quarterback is throwing into a receiver who is not open, or at least close to open. And he did that 199 times, which was pretty easily the highest in the class. Drake May was second with 161s and wasn't uber successful on those. Still only 38% covered success rate, which is another mark that he hit the lowest in this class on those attempts. But just speaking to that, that's incredibly aggressive. And one you're not going to see on the site or in the profiles that you do track that we don't really talk about very often is wide receiver adjusted percentage, which is how often a wide receiver needs to adjust to the ball to make a catch or make a play and have that pass be accurate. And that was 8% of the time, which is a pretty high mark for what we track. Usually, I mean, not crazy. Now, again, not an outlier here, but usually we're tracking between the 5 to 7%. So 8% is there. And that kind of was a little bit of, like, confirmation for me of what I saw on his tape, where a lot of the times I'm seeing he's struggling to lead receivers. While he does have the ability to put touch under the ball, which I appreciate evaluating quarterbacks, that's a big thing for me that I think translates to the NFL level. We see a lot of these zone offenses, a lot of the times where you're putting the ball across the middle, you need to get a receiver in stride. That's something I didn't see on his tape all that often. I felt a lot of times you either had to take that step back to catch the ball for the receiver, or you kind of got caught in that weird area where you can't keep running to catch the ball, but you can't stop. So you just kind of stop mid route and you're going to get hit. I think that's an area that he struggled a little bit with, but an area that I think unlike some of the other stuff, I don't think is a fundamental flaw in his game, something you could probably improve with chemistry, repetition, stuff like that at the NFL level. But it's going to take time if it's going to work with Michael Penix. So where do you think he's probably going to end up in the draft? If you were to go put your GM pants on, where are you taking him?
Where am I taking him and where does he end up are two very different questions. I think
let's start with where you think he ends up, because I think some teams might get a little enamored and get a little bullish. But what do you think?
I think probably in top 50 ish, but I don't think the first round. I think people are just going to, you know, I know he technically got cleared for his medicals, but I don't know, man. Two shredded knees, two shoulders. Teams are going to look at that and I think be scared the same way they were with Hendon Hooker last year. So I think he probably falls out of the first round for that reason. I mean, maybe Las Vegas panics, but other than that, I think it's probably a second round angle for him just because of age, injury concern, all that other stuff. If it were me, I think, for Bleacher Report, I technically have a very high fourth round grade on him. He's just not a player I would take with a serious pick between the injury history, some of my guardrails in terms of watching quarterbacks, a guy who's that bad under pressure and that bad at handling the pocket, I'm just never going to take that high. I don't think he has touch, which I think is a big problem. So I would probably not take him that high. But realistically, I just don't know when I would draft him, between the injury history stuff and the age and a lot of his profile. He at a certain point, I'm sure on day three, I would roll the dice, but he's just a prospect I would kind of steer clear of, which I know sounds insane because he might go in the first round, but there's just a lot of stuff that he just is not my type of quarterback. And I think there's a lot of even just objective stuff the injury stuff that is very, very concerning with him.
And I think when you're talking about draft capital with the quarterback, you always have to account for the quarterback bump to where it's a player could be a third, fourth round prospect, but that doesn't mean he's going to get taken in the third, fourth round as a quarterback. It's like the reverse running back situation where it's they'll probably just get a bump extra because there's not that many of them and a lot of teams need them. I'm not as pessimistic as you are, I think, on Penix. I think there is a path for him to be an NFL starter at some point in time. I think if he can tap into that ceiling on a consistent basis, sure, there's a little more ceiling for him there. But I think at least if he were to go to a team where someone went down, he could string together some starting playing quarterback, like what we saw with the Raiders with, why am I forgetting his name all of a sudden? The rookie that just played O'Connell.
Yeah.
I could see a situation along that where if you give him half the year to a full year and he has to come in and maybe you want to see what he has. I think there's a chance that he could surprise staying healthy. He's very aggressive. That translates a lot to what we see with the NFL, but he's just lacking on a lot of the accuracy stuff. And that's hard to see it fully changing to come around to a plus starter. But I think he could stay around in a while, and I'm never going to shut a quarterback prospect out to where I'm like, he cannot surprise me a little bit in the future.
He definitely could surprise. My comparison for him is a 70% version of Carson Palmer, the Cardinals version, where he's just really good at throwing speed outs. He'll throw the piss out of the ball 15 yards down the field. Again, I don't think Penix is as accurate or as adjustable in his arm slots as Carson Palmer was. But I think if you ran the same offense, they would make a lot of the same throws. I think it would look very similar. My actual realistic outlook for him is some version of Jacoby Brissett, probably a little bit worse. But that's kind of where it's okay, he's good at throwing down the field. He's really aggressive. He generally can do the right thing, but he will throw the ball into danger every now and then. And then he's a little bit more of a line drive thrower than someone who has touch and rhythm and that sort of stuff. So I do think, to your point, there is a spot for him and he'll probably stick around. I just have such a hard time seeing the world where he's a top half of the league quarterback, I think.
No, and I think that's kind of come to fruition with kind of what the talk has been with his draft stock and kind of yes, his production was there, his athleticism was there. But when you have a quarterback with that kind of production and that kind of athleticism, and they're not being talked as a top 10 pick, there's usually a reason behind that. It's not just the injury history, because I think teams can kind of get away with that now with like modern medicine and stuff. They can convince themselves the injury history doesn't matter. There's a reason he's not being talked as a top 10 pick, and it's because he hasn't been able to overcome a lot of that situational stuff, the stuff under pressure, the accuracy, pretty much every level of the field. It's more of like he's an aggressive, really good athlete, and that's why he's probably going to get a shot in the NFL, and that'd be where he'd make his mark.
100%. And like, I think I kind of hinted to this at Drake May, but I think, like, you know, I've said part of the, I think thing people are missing with May is that we're comparing him to all these quarterbacks who had like unbelievable circumstances. I think if people would consider for a moment what Michael Penix would look like in North Carolina, it would be bad. Like, it just wouldn't be that good. That offensive line was disgusting. And it didn't have nearly the receiving talent that, that Washington had. Like, I know people are going to point to Tez Walker, but Tez is worse than all three of Washington's receivers, at least the way that I've graded them. And so I think if people should like try to consider that, like, what would X player look like in X situation? And I mean, we saw Michael Penix at a not as good school at Indiana, and he was like a fun Saturday player, but he wasn't this like maybe go in the first round type of quarterback. So
no, it is wild what a championship caliber team can do for your draft stock. And credit to him, he made the right decision going to Washington, and it worked out, jumping from never throwing more than 1,600 yards to two consecutive 4,500 plus yard seasons, breaking records at your own school. Like, it's a good move. And I'm excited to see where he goes around draft day. I'm excited to see if any teams are tempted to take a reach on him and just kind of see where it lands. We'll be doing a full video profile on Michael Penix Jr. coming later in the week, where you will get to see us break down some of the film that he's got, as well as his reception perception profile. So be on the lookout for that video. We're about to hit 10K on the Matt Harmon channel for YouTube, and sneak peek, we're probably going to be doing a giveaway for that. So if you're not already subscribed to the channel, go subscribe, get ready for these videos, and we'll be back next week with another quarterback prospect. Until then, we'll see you next time.